All right, welcome back, everyone, for the second hour. And I don't know whether it's going to be a full hour or less than an hour or whatever the deal is, but I've got Vin Byrne on, formerly of Vin B Sunday, back on the show, back on air. Thanks for coming on, Vin.
Thanks for having me on, Stephen. I have to say, it's great to be back on. I haven't been, well, I can't even remember the last time I was on PIR. Just so everybody knows, I'm sharing this live stream as well on my page. It should come up on my page, Vincent Byrne on Facebook. And I'm hoping Ben will see it there now and he'll share it on his page as well.
Yeah, I think I just have it on mine now as well.
Perfect. Lovely. Okay, Stephen, fire away when ready.
Well, there's been a big brouhaha in the last couple of years now, hasn't it, man? At least 2 or 3 years, and now it's really come to a boil here in the last few weeks. I don't know who wants to start out and explain it, or whether you want to start, Ben, or Ben.
Well, I'll start because it makes more sense if I start, because this all initiated on People's Internet Radio. What happened was something along the lines of, I mean, I can't be too accurate here because I'm not sure of certain things, but what happened was, right back in the beginning, as you know, Stephen, we offer slots to anybody on the planet, basically, who wants to come on here, like yourself in America, wants to do a show on People's Internet Radio. We're fairly easygoing. We all are about how we do things. But the idea is seeking solutions, trying to solve issues and that type of thing. And anybody essentially could come on and take a radio slot. One day, going back a number of years, 5 years ago or thereabouts, a guy called Martin Daly.
Quite a few years ago.
We said, sure thing, no problem, set him up. But he wasn't very good at technology. It takes a little bit of getting used to, as you found out yourself. And he couldn't really swing it. So one day he was due to have an interview. It was his first real interview with somebody. He had two other broadcasts, but they weren't really up to scratch. And he still wasn't up to speed. So he asked me, would I kind of like act like a producer? We'd use the term host on the radio. But in other words, would we produce the show for him? I couldn't. So I asked Sean McGuire, would he do so? Sean McGuire agreed. What that entails is Sean would host the Skype call between Martin Daly and his guest, who happened to be Fiona O'Leary. I'll get to that in a second. And essentially what Sean would do is he'd say, okay, folks, in 3, 2, 1, you're live. And then he would mute his microphone. Now, nobody would know Sean was in the background operating the technology for Martin and his guest. And everybody on the radio only hears Martin and Fiona, and nobody hears Sean, and he plays the music. Then Sean will play the music as required. Sean was doing the guy a favor. While that was going on, Fiona clearly didn't understand what was going on and didn't really seem to have a grasp of what was going on and kept talking. Sean asked her to stay quiet a few times, and eventually, through one thing and another, before they even went on air, and Sean was never meant to be on air with them, Fiona called him an asshole, apparently. And so Sean obviously took exception to this, as he was doing this Martin Daly guy a favor, and to have his guest just call Sean an asshole, Sean was very upset. Anyway, they went on there, and you know, we have a chat box, and our members type whatever they type in the chat box. And Fiona noticed before she went on air, because of the manner in which she was introduced, people were typing quite negative things about her, and she basically lost the plot. She flipped the bean. She was calling everybody in the chat box Nazis and God knows what. This was way before it was popular for Antifa to do it now, you know. Anyhow, the show was a car crash. It really was. And after that, I discovered that Fiona had known Martin Daly apparently for 20 years. She rang me after this car crash interview to try to get me to remove Sean McGuire, I should say, from the radio. Because this is what Fiona does, apparently. She goes looking for whom she thinks is the controller. I tried to explain to her that People's Internet Radio was a group dynamic and it wasn't just one man or woman in control of the whole thing. They wouldn't really listen to me. I put the call up. I'm sure a lot of people heard it. Anyway, long story short. One night she called in and we had a conversation and she has this whole MMS thing going on. She's particularly focused on this issue. And I told her, even in the call, after the Martin Daly Show that I did not agree with MMS being used for putting up autistic children's back passages. I made that very clear. People heard that in the call. I've said it numerous times since then, anytime she called in and ranted and raved. Then, of course, she made that video. And the video, of course, was directed in particular at myself, Ben, and a number of other people. But myself and Ben decided to take a defamation action in the High Court. And I think the rest is history. Most people know probably what transpired since then. Maybe I'll bring Ben in at this stage. Ben, do you want to pitch in here?
Yeah. A lot of this I was not aware of. I mean, I wouldn't have known too much about your shows, Vin, barred a few I might have been on. I certainly didn't know Fiona O'Looney. And I knew nothing about MMS. When I was down at her house, she seemed to think I knew something about it. The only thing I have ever heard about MMS is from her. She's actually the biggest advertiser of MMS in this country, and she should be stopped. So I never heard of her or MMS. The first thing I knew about this woman was that somebody had rang me to say that this woman has put up a video and either accusing you or by very strong implication suggesting that you are involved in pouring bleach up children's backsides and making their internal tissue shed out through their anus, and that Vincent's cohorts, and she mentions me as one of the cohorts, that we actually enjoy this type of child abuse, and it is child abuse. She confirms all of this. So, I mean, I let her have it on a phone call. I got her phone straight away. I phoned her. I said to her, look, take that down. You don't know me, Fiona. I'm not involved in any such thing at all. Take it down. She wouldn't do it. So I asked her about 15 times because she's the type of person who likes to talk over you and not listen to what you're saying at all. And she wouldn't answer when I kept saying to her, have you got a solicitor? Have you got a solicitor? And that's all I kept saying. She kept wanting to talk about other things. I kept saying, I will discuss all of that with you in front of a high court judge. Right now, I'm just asking, have you got a solicitor? And I said, if you don't have a solicitor, I'm going to come and serve you personally. So she wouldn't give the name of her solicitor. So I know a lot of people were complaining that I went down and served her personally. But that's tough shit on her. I had to do that because I needed this done very quickly. So myself and Vin, apparently, who she knows very well, is involved in this child abuse, couldn't even recognize Vincent standing at her gate when she was calling him zombie boy. And who is he? And does he speak English? And I'm not trying to be funny, Vin, but like, if you knew Vin Byrne, you'll know him from about 600 yards away. I mean, you know, it's simple.
Not only that, I actually heard that phone call, you know, that when you were saying to her, solicitor, who's your solicitor? And not only that, I had actually already told Ben that she had told me she had a solicitor. She said she knew or had a free legal aid solicitor that night when she was threatening me on the radio, on that phone call, her and Timmy ranting away like lunatics, the pair of them. And that's why I said to Ben, well, she said she has a solicitor, so all we have to do is find out who that is, and we could serve her solicitor. Do you want to maybe explain that, Ben? Because maybe people don't understand.
I mean, it's the normal course of events is if someone has a solicitor, it is decorum, if you like, to serve the solicitor, not to serve the person, because sometimes that can be seen as a veiled threat. But in circumstances where I asked her 15 times at least on the telephone to tell me and identify who, to identify her solicitor. And then when she wouldn't do it, I said to her, you know, I'm going to have to serve you myself. So that's what I had to do. Once then the solicitor came on record when the service of the summons was done, we issued loads of other court papers, including a motion for interlocutory relief and affidavits and all that. And then all that was served on the solicitor in the right way, you know, so we done all that. But I have come to know this crazy person through, you know, having to watch this person of what she's trying to say.
It's just a little feedback.
Oh, sorry, a little feedback. Sorry. Somebody on one of her Facebook pages, because we were watching her very closely then, suggested that we should be put in body bags and we need to be paid a visit. And did she know where we lived? Now, this crazy person actually put up on the public thread, and this is after being in court, put up on the thread, yes, Ireland. Then whereabouts? Then she mentions Dublin for Vincent, and then asks other people to PM her, to private message her. So we can only imagine what she was up to. Now, this is a woman who should be very busy at home, and I'm not meaning in a sexist way, but she's not working. She gets paid as a carer for all our children, and she should be at home caring for those children and staying off internet. I'm barely on it. I'm come home from work here today, and the only reason I made a video tonight is because the guards told me not to. So, you know, that meant to me, in my brain, I hear that is, you better make one. So that's what I've done.
Yeah, that can be a red rag to a bull.
Yeah, of course. But especially in this circumstances, Vin, you know, and maybe Stephen knows also that, you know, I get all types of abuse. Once you raise your head above the parapet and you challenge the system and you challenge the corruption and you challenge solicitors and judges and barristers and receivers and all, these are people all have relatives and they all maybe are accountants in Grant Thornton or whatever it may be. So I accept a load of these people are going to have a go at me. I'm a big man. That doesn't bother me in the slightest. Call me a grey-headed old fool or call me far right or far left. Most of that I didn't even understand. I had to ask late Johnny Squires what even that meant. But one thing you cannot, you know, say to a family man is you abuse children in the most horrendous way. You're holding children down, according to her, and pouring bleach up their backside till they bleed and shed internally. Now, you can imagine, if this ever goes on, you can imagine the screams of the children now. And to suggest that someone like myself and Vincent Bourne are not only involved in this, but enjoy it, it really says how depraved one would have to be. Now, the question on this is, either this is true or is not. Myself and Vincent, I'm calling for the arrest of Vincent Bourne tonight.
And I'm calling for the arrest of Ben Gilroy.
Yeah, and I think that's fair, because we both agree as family men that if anybody is involved in this practice, they should be arrested immediately and without trial even put them in jail. And I'm, as people know, very much a civil rights supporter, but sometimes I'm allowing civil rights even go out the window. I told the guard tonight on the telephone when he rang me, I said, if I seen someone through a sitting room window doing that to a child, I said, I'd bust in the hall door and I'd bust his head with a baseball bat. And she's accusing me of it. So, like, there's two interesting things here that I said to the guards on the radio tonight. And when they rang me earlier. And what I said is, one, either myself and Vincent Bourne are guilty of this, and this could be a big ploy or to make us look innocent, you know. I accept that. Most guilty people say they're innocent, right? I've spent 3 months in jail. I've heard it all. So I accept all that. That's the first issue. But the Gardaí have a duty, more to that lunatic Fiona O'Leary. They have a duty to those children that we've been accused of abusing. Where are they? Are they now well? Are they now safe? Are they out of our reach? Are they in Vincent Bourne's locker at home or in my garden shed? Where are the families? Are the parents okay? Did we tie them up while we were doing this to the children? These are the issues that I said to the cop is the first thing that needs to be done is protect the welfare of those children. I've children myself. If I thought for 1 minute anybody was suggesting any sort of thing like that with my child, that would be the end of the matter. So I said, that's the first issue that the cops have to address. Never mind Fiona O'Leary's complaints. Never mind my complaints in the High Court. That's the first issue, is the protection of those children. She must know who they are. She must be able to name them. She must know where they live. She must know they have swollen arses like baboons now. She must know all of these things. So I said to the guard, the first issue is, let's go and find those kids. Because I said, I could have had a blackout, and maybe I did do that. Maybe some of those children are still here in my home. Come and search. Let's go after that first and protect the children. But I said, because the Gardaí have not done that, there's a malfeasance in public office if they truly believe Fiona O'Leary was correct in what she said. The other flip side of that coin is simply this. If they do not believe that myself and Vincent Bourne were ever involved in this practice, and there is no such injured children or no record of these children being brought to court, then they must arrest her immediately for breaching our peace, putting our life in danger, you know, because common law is no harm or injury or loss to someone. When you see people like Gran Torino getting milkshake thrown in his face with curry powder in it, so there was forethought of malice went into that. What does he do? People accuse him of being a bit edgy and a bit maybe racist or whatever. I'm not saying any issue. I don't find that with him at all. I just think he shoots from the hip. But irrespective, he's entitled to free speech. But we're not entitled to abuse children in that way. We're absolutely not. So there is a much greater fear that someone would put acid in a cup and throw it in my face or Vincent's face. Now, with my looks, that's a huge difficulty. With Vincent's, not so much. But all joking aside, you understand. And because people might look at myself and Vincent saying, oh, we're pushing this too far and we're only bitching about it. If you are that person, let me make that claim about you. I'll dress it just a different way. And I even said to the guard tonight that I could easily say that I was watching Fiona's house with a long lens camera. And I seen some very odd things going on there with Timmy and the children. But I wouldn't do that. Because even though they're the people doing it to me, I said to the guard, I just couldn't stoop that low. And, you know, that's fighting fire with fire. And I still couldn't do it. I couldn't stoop that low. So I actually said on the video tonight that their children are very good looking, appear well-mannered, educated children. Because I just couldn't stoop that low. And you know, myself and Vincent got together the other night and we agreed, look, to try and end this. Could we, because we know now there's something slightly wrong with her, say slightly, but anyway, that we appealed to Timmy and we said to him, look, if you have any influence over your wife, can you not just get her to take the video down? I mean, she already in court accepted that I'm not involved in this. But then, you know, later on, she misled the court because, you know, there was other videos we weren't allowed to show in court for the injunction because it's not the full trial. But when the videos are shown at the full trial, her solicitors misled the court. From the other videos, it's very clearly she meant me as well as Vincent. And she has a huge difficulty in court with that. Now, the issue is we were still willing. Both me and Vincent offered to pay for them to go out for a nice meal, bottle of wine. There'd be no gloating on the internet if she took it down. There'd be no we won, you lost, blah, blah, blah. There'd be none of that. Just take it down. Here's a nice meal on us. You got it wrong. Maybe you genuinely thought we were at this, but you got it wrong. And I also said in the court that I respect Fiona O'Leary's freedom of speech, and I would fight to the death for her freedom of speech as I would for anybody else's. But freedom of speech ends when you endanger people's lives with falsehoods. Now, I said, if she's telling the truth about myself and Vincent, then she has absolutely every right to say it. So it only comes down to, is what she said true or not? That's her burden of proof. My burden of proof and Vincent's burden of proof is well laid out in any defamation case. One, did she say it? Two, was it published? So yes, she said it was published. It's on YouTube. That's simple. The third thing is it true? She has to prove it's true. I don't even have to prove it's not true, but I'm just saying it's not true. Obviously, any guilty person might say that. And I'm saying to the guards that if it is true, forget the High Court. Get the DPP involved. Get myself and Vincent Byrne into jail immediately. We're a menace to society. We couldn't be left alone with our own kids if that's the case. So that's my position with the guards right now.
Yeah, Ben, can I just come in there, Ben, as well, if you don't. Sorry, Stephen. Yeah. Did you want to come in?
Yeah, I just wanted to say also that we're on Shake and Wake Radio, Ben, here in America. I did want to say that child abuse does mean a totally different thing in Europe than what it does here in America. Predominantly here in America, child abuse means just physical abuse, but over in Europe, it means sexual abuse, doesn't it?
Yes. But look, anybody who may be deranged enough to, first of all, have sexual fantasies towards children and then act upon them, I don't know then if part of that fantasy acting out that they do includes pouring bleach up their arse. I have no idea. But child abuse, I know in America, can be just a matter of slapping a child and stuff like that. And I suppose it is a very mild form of child abuse, but that's certainly not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the most egregious child abuse that I couldn't have even imagined. I mean, when I hear child abuse, and, you know, we have a lot of history here with priests and, you know, other people, and it's sexual child abuse. But the stuff we're accused of is like torturing for maybe a sexual pleasure with children, which is even more egregious. And I just can't understand how a mother of a child could say that about us and then, you know, suffer what she calls all the threats from us. There's no threats from her, apart from legal threats, that I am going to leave you on the side of the road broke and you will never have a minute's peace until you take it down. They're legal threats, absolutely. But the Gardaí said, make sure you don't make any physical threats. Absolutely not. But I'm making every legal threat I can to her. And I'm telling you now, she will be left penniless. And all she has to do, I mean, what a stubborn old bitch anyway. All she has to do, because she told the court she didn't mean me. She actually didn't say she didn't mean Vincent, by the way, which I found even most alarming. If she didn't mean me, why not just take the video down and put it up? And if she still means Vincent, say, oh, Vincent did it. But just be a little more accurate of who he did it with, when he did it, who were the children. And I'll go investigate with her. And then I'll help her arrest Vincent Byrne as well. So what about that? Like, you know, there's no logic to what she's doing or saying at all. And for any man out there, and I'm just saying this because most men probably never had to suffer this. And like, I have young family and young children here, and they watch YouTube, and they know because of the heartache in this family what goes on now. But for any man with children to have to put up with this and suffer this, you know, just try and think about that for a moment. You know, the death threats and all, I don't really give a shit about, in the sense that, yeah, if you get me and you kill me, I'm dead. So what? I don't know about it. If you don't and you don't kill me, then you better be a real fast runner. So I'm not that pushed about that. You know, I used to be a bodyguard for years and everything. None of that bothers me. But just to be actually looked at, you know, like in my local supermarket, I see loads of people commenting here, did you see, Ben, what she says about you when she made these videos? And then I go to my local supermarket here, Super Value, and I see people and they're looking over. And I don't know if they're looking over saying, oh, that's your man, Ben Gilroy. Or, oh, that's your man that failed in the elections. Oh, that's your man that challenges the banks and the receivers. Or, oh, that's your man that was fucking putting bleach up a children's arse. Because that shit sticks. And I don't care what anybody says. When you start being accused of that, that shit sticks. So myself, Ben, and Vincent said we're going to come out very strong and defend that.
Yeah. Can I just come in there for a second, Ben, just to say something? I'm calling on Fiona and O'Leary, and Tim O'Leary, both of them, please tell everybody who these children are. How did they find out about this, that supposedly what Ben and I have done in that regard? You know, I see a lot of people saying they support them and have their back on Twitter, etc. But why has none of them asked, well, who are the children? Who are these children? Where are they from? Did Fiona witness this? Did she see it with her own two eyes? Did somebody tell her? You know, she said we enjoy this. Now, that would imply, well, you've seen somebody do something and they're enjoying it, right, Ben? I mean,
they must have been laughing doing it or really getting off on it or something. I don't know. But it's fake support she has, because if you even said it, Vin, about somebody else, I would be saying, Jesus, Vin, that's shocking. When did that happen? And who did it? And I can't believe it. Like, how did it happen? Can we go to the guards? Is there video? Is there footage? Is the mother? Can we ring her? Can we help the family? But there's none of that. It's all fake bullshit from them. Oh, we support you, Fiona. Oh, the men are so terrible. You know, men are so terrible that we're accused of this and we come out to try to defend our name and we're so terrible. If we didn't try to defend our names and they believed it, we'd even be worse terrible. So we're sort of caught between a rock and a hard place. And that's the difficulty with being threatened or accused of this heinous, egregious type of filthy dirt that even entered into her head. Maybe she's at it. Because none of that would have ever entered into my head only before I heard her speak of it. I would never have imagined any child abuser doing that. I could have imagined other things, you know, but not that. And that's why I just think there's something wrong with her. Or she has seen it, or she's taken part in it, or she's seen her husband at it. I don't know what it is, but you just do not make that shit up about anybody. Even people like, I mean, there's a lot of people who have a go at me on the internet about different things, and I'm far right and I'm a Nazi. Could you imagine me a Nazi, right? And they make all these allegations. I wouldn't in my wildest dream think of ever saying something like that about them. I just couldn't, you know, I might call them a shithead or whatever, but imagine coming up with that in your own sick mind and then to put it out on a video. And remember, folks, the video she did about me, I know now she had several run-ins with Vincent Bourne on different shows and that, but she never had a run-in with me. She never knew me from Adam, you know, and I never knew her. We never had a cross word. I don't know her from Adam until I went down to serve that video. And that's why at that service of that video, I made sure, and so did Vincent, that we were recording it, because I said to him, if she is the type of person who would lie about us doing that depraved act, are you thinking she's not going to lie to say we abused her and threatened her and everything else when we delivered the summons? And weren't we lucky we videoed that? Because I'm not joking you, she is one of the most convincing liars I have ever seen.
Oh, I second that.
Yeah, now, and that might sound like an unqualified remark, but you must remember, for the last 10 years, I'm dealing with receivers, bankers, lawyers, solicitors, and judges. So I know liars when I see them. And she is right up there as one of the best liars I ever seen. When you see her on the phone to your man Morris, before that, she's just calmly, with her back turned to me, kneeling down, trying to burn papers. Now, this is a woman who's supposed to be threatened by me. I'm standing behind her. She has her back to me, kneeling down, trying to light papers. She's so terrified by me, right? And then, calm as you like, and then the minute the phone rings, I'm going to have a heart attack. These men are threatening me. And then the minute that phone call is over, Mr. Gill, would you like water? Would you like sun cream? Blah, blah, blah. Then the husband, Dimmy Timmy, gets on. Oh, Timmy, Ben Gilroy is threatening. My son has an iron bar, though, so we're really okay with it and all. I mean, Vincent, just looking at her going, like, is something wrong with her?
Can I just come in there for a second, Ben? Because to me, that was the most bizarre thing in the whole thing, the whole day.
Yeah.
She armed her autistic, vulnerable adult son with an iron bar. Who does that? I mean, and as she said, she didn't recognize me. And let's face it, Ben, we're not small guys. I mean, we're not tough guys, but we're not small guys. I mean, I'm 6'5", 18, stone. You know, as you say, you know me from 600 meters away, right? You can spot me. I stand out. You're a big strapping lad as well. Who in their right mind, if she was genuinely worried, after calling the Gardaí, what most women would have done in that situation to protect the vulnerable adult son was to bring him into the house, make sure he's okay, and then lock the door and wait till the Gardaí arrive. That's what a normal, well-adjusted person would do.
And a point on that, Vincent, is the gate, it's about 100 yards from our house. We never made any attempt to go past the gate, even though we have a right, if we're serving court papers, we can do it. But I didn't want to upset anybody because I just seen the guy. We actually thought that was the husband in the garden, Vincent, if you remember, because he's a big strapping lad. But then when I realized he was autistic, you know, I could kind of see that in him. He was a gentle, loving soul. I knew by looking at him. And then when she started turning, you know who these people are? These are the people from the bleach cult. Now, she told the court she didn't mean me, and then she does this, you know? And I had to, and I'm not joking, it wasn't for show or anything. I even said to Vincent afterwards, the father in me just kicked in. And I said, Fiona, don't do that to the child, because I was actually fearing for the child that he might have been a little bit nervous there because she was getting a little bent out of shape. But when she starts that,
if you look in the video, you can see that the son was what they called stimming, which is self-stimulating by like rocking backwards and forwards, and his hands were wringing his hands. He was clearly upset and didn't know what the hell was going on.
And I did feel sorry for that. And then the minute she try to introduce us as these men are dangerous to, from the, and I had to just jump in and say, Fiona, like, please don't do that. Don't say that. What are you at? Now, in fairness to her then, I think she sort of got a click of common sense and stopped. But I had to intervene to protect her child from that. You know, like, it was awful to watch. And I knew if we left, well, you could see at one stage when I was moving my car, she nearly jumped on the bonnet. But I knew if we left, the guards would say, oh, you left because you obviously did this, that, and the other. But weren't we so lucky we videoed that? Because I would have believed her, and I was there. I would have believed we threatened her and abused her because she's such a convincing liar. I mean, she had me till I had to check my phone footage again. And I'm not joking about that. She is the most convincing liar I have ever seen. So, Timmy, when she's saying she's out somewhere on a Friday night, you know, you...
Can I just say as well, Ben, I believe, this is my own theory here, open to correction, as they say, but I believe because she knew whatever spiel she had told the Gardaí about these two supposed thugs at her gate, I think that's why she burnt the paperwork, because I think she thought, well, if I burn these papers, then it's just Ben Gilroy and this other thug at my gate, and therefore my story will stick and the guards will arrest him or whatever.
Yeah.
No, she didn't realize, I don't think we had extra copies, or maybe she did, but she forgot.
Yes.
But I think that's what she was up to. She was trying to actually, you know, make her lie stick by any means necessary. And then she was so frustrated when the papers wouldn't burn. I mean, they were still smoldering when the Gardaí were there.
That's right. And also, you and I know, and we're quite good at doing videos and editing them, and we can make things look certain ways, right? And we didn't do that because you can see there's no cut in that video. My video went dead because someone rang in. I forgot to put it on airplane mode. And we only realized mine had stopped recording when we got back into the van. But luckily enough, you were audio recording. So that's, people were wondering why that froze her with the bar. And then you could hear the audio, but you can hear the audio is coming from a different area then, you know, so just for that point. But also, I said to Fiona, you were videoing as well. If you say you were threatened, you know, you made your own video. People will see she came down with the phone herself videoing. I was doing it quite discreetly. She was doing it very much in our face. in all of this, we have never seen her video.
Well, we did see one image.
Oh, an image, yeah. She took one picture, and what she said is, this is what child abusers look like, right? Yeah. At the two of us. So all of this has to come out in the trial yet. This is the difficulty she's going to have, because in the injunction, they wouldn't listen to any of it. They only listened to the first offending video, and they more or less said, oh, she didn't mean me. But of course, the follow-up video is the follow-up comments. And then her solicitors got in touch and told her to take down at least three other videos that she put up, because they just totally incriminated her, and the solicitors were made look like liars. So they got it taken down real quick.
On top of that, Ben, she got a few of my videos removed where I showed when she asked me in an interview with her and Emma Delmain, Emma Delmain actually asked me to clarify about MMS, autistic children, and enemas. And I absolutely did. And it was after that she made the video saying, you and I and other, and I think we should actually include this. There were other people mentioned in her video as well. I don't think we should name them here, but there were other people mentioned in the video.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's painting all of those people with that brush. And that's a dangerous brush to be painting people with, because, as I say, Ben, I'm a big lad, you're a big lad, but nobody has eyes in the back of their head.
No. No, and not only that, like, you know, she's always on about, oh, I'm threatened, and blah, blah, blah. And she's such a good actor. I know the guard really believed her. But I have a recording of that call, and in fairness to the guard, I'm not going to put it out on social media. But I gave that guard absolutely the whole truth. And we are now going to take action in relation to that criminal matter. And the tables have turned on Miss Fiona O'Leary. She thinks she's on the upper hand there. Let me tell you.
We should probably say very little about that at the moment, Ben.
Yeah, just at the moment, just.
But I will say this. I mean, I rang the good Gardaí down there as well, and I let you hear what I had to say. And again, I basically told them, folks, I said, if this is true, what she's saying, just come and arrest me. I'm not interested in going in and having, you know, conversations and chit-chats. If you believe what she said, send your file to the DPP, and if they believe you, just come and arrest me, because if what she says is true, then I must be the most vile creature on the planet, along with Ben and whoever else she named in that video.
Because myself and Vincent are the type of people that we knew someone doing that. We would kick seven shades of shite out of them, and we would not worry about the consequences of it. And that's what I said to the guard, that if I seen someone doing that in someone's house, I'd go in with a baseball bat, where, you know, I wouldn't care about the law. I would just go in and do the right thing, you know, what a right-minded person would do, and suffer the consequences after if I had to. But, you know, she just picked on the wrong two men, and why she just cannot either say, you did do it, these are the name of the children, here's their families, here's pictures of their arses, here's their medical reports, or else say, look, I was only taking the piss, I only wanted to deny you, I went a bit too far. I'll take it down. I shouldn't have.
Yeah. Can I just throw something in here as well, Ben? She keeps posting up this.
Both positions.
Just let me throw something else in here. She was posting this so-called MMS documentary, a primetime hit piece, really, is what it was. But in the primetime program, she shows, you know, they're showing all these pictures that Fiona O'Leary has gathered of squiggly, gooey stuff on plates, and she claims these are intestines from children, etc. But in the RTE program, they actually say in there, now we can't prove what the hell these are or are not.
Yeah.
You know, the people who talk about MMS, and I have interviewed and discussed it with people at length regularly on the radio down through the years, that doesn't mean I agree with any of it or anything like that. I mean, I had a conversation with a flat earther. I don't think the earth is flat, you know. Yeah. I mean, just because you interview somebody, it doesn't mean you agree with what they're saying. And as I said, you know,
several conversations with people who think I'm not sovereign. I don't know where they get that from either.
Right. I mean, it's written in the Constitution, right?
That's right. But,
the other thing I'd say is that, you know, I put it up there on Facebook tonight. You know, why is Fiona O'Leary so concerned about her her own personal complaint of what she calls harassment. I call it defending my good name, by the way. I'm not harassing anybody.
No.
I'm being harassed, as are you, Ben. She is actually harassing us. She is the instigator of this, and I'm defending my good name. And I told that good Garda today, no problem. I will defend my good name all the way. All the way. You don't have anything else.
Not only that, she's the only one that can cure us.
The answer is in her court.
Now, what she doesn't realize is, and I'm sure maybe her solicitors didn't tell her, in most cases, the accused does not have to incriminate themselves and does not have to take the stand to be cross-examined. But unfortunately for her, in defamation, she's going to have to take the stand. And when I get her on the stand, she will understand what a grilling is. Because I heard her saying that, oh, I'm no good in court and I'm no good at cross-examining. Let me tell you, that woman has never seen me in court, if that's what she believes. I had bankers and receivers fall apart in court when I'm cross-examining them. So, and these were me cross-examining where I may have put a receiver out of a place and I may have done things that I probably shouldn't have, but, you know, out of righteousness, I should have done them. But this woman has nothing to offer. So unless she's willing to mislead the court, and I will then bring perjury charges against her. And, you know, just to remind her, the Supreme Court came out with an order the other day, and I have a copy of it, where it insists that the Gardaí and the DPP will follow up now on perjury cases. So Fiona,
there's legislation in hand for that as well.
This is even before that legislation is not even in place yet. I have read it. It's not actually enacted yet. But the Supreme Court only the other day brought out a court order directing basically the DPP and the Gardaí to follow up on perjury cases.
That as well, Ben, when we were in the court, she didn't say one word in the court. It was all her barrister speaking.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm saying this clearly, particularly to her barrister and our legal team, whom, do you know something? I'm going to say, I wasn't really unhappy with many aspects of the judgment on the injunction, because the judge, I think he was misled, or I don't know whether he allowed himself to be misled, but I think into thinking that this was a freedom of speech issue, and was not. And I think it was very clear it wasn't. But her legal team were aware of that video, the video where she called you a member of the sovereign bleach cult to her autistic son. They were aware of that. And we know this because they had it taken down Facebook, off YouTube.
Yes.
They had it removed. So I don't know whether they lied or she lied to them or what, but somebody's lying to somebody.
Well, I tell you what I noticed from the court, because as you know, Vin, I would have a lot of experience in the court.
Yes.
The first judge, O'Connor was his name.
Yeah.
And look, let's be honest, I had many a run-in with O'Connor. But I'm going to tell you something. He was a very fair judge in this case.
Agreed.
And he didn't have time. He had a very busy schedule. And I had to beg him, would he just please read the papers? And he went out and read the papers, Vin. You remember, was it about half an hour he came back in?
I'll tell you something else. Before that started, you and I were standing at the back of the courtroom. And he walked in. And if you remember, we both looked at each other and I said, uh-oh, we're fucked. Because...
But, because we had to run in with the
Smiths
in relation to the Smiths in Balbriggan.
Yeah.
But in fairness to the judge, right, he does what every judge should do. He put that case aside and he took the next case on its merits, irrespective of the parties.
He did.
In fairness, he had a very busy schedule that day. You and I know that. And he said, right, because we were insisting and because it was of child abuse claims published on an internet, he said, I'll read the papers. When he went out, he came back and he was livid, right? And he said to them, you take that down off the video down altogether. You said Mr. Gilroy's not involved in it. Why did you even mention his name in such a video if that's the case? So you either take it down by 10 in the a.m. in the morning, or if you don't take it down, he said, I want you to put very clearly across the video that Ben Gilroy is not involved in any of these depraved acts, right? Now, there's nothing about you in this bin because it was my injunction. We just decided to do it this way. So there was no allegation about you, but she's going to get it much more difficult when it comes to you. But in fairness to him, he read the papers. The barrister then said, what wording would you like? The judge screamed at the barrister. Now, the reason barristers are believed more than the likes of me in court is they have an overriding duty to the court. And one of their main duties is that they must not mislead the court, must not hold documents in against the court. So in fairness to judges, they probably do give a slighter preference to what a barrister says because they have that duty, and the judges assume they stick to that duty. I just know that they don't all the times, but you got to have met some very honourable barristers that do. Right, that said. Now, the barrister said to the judge, what text would you like me to put on the video? And the judge screamed at her, and he said, you know what the court requires, he said. You know what, you're an officer of the court. And he said, you know what the court requires. And he said, and if I was her counsel, I'd be telling her to mitigate her damages. Now, whether that sinks into Fiona O'Leary or the legal team, I don't care. But when it comes to the trial, when all stuff will be videoed, when all videos will be allowed in, when the cross-examination takes place, the truth of this matter will come out. And either me and you will end up in jail, of which I have no concern, because if you're guilty, then you deserve it. And you will say the same about me.
100%.
And if that's not the case, she will get what she deserves. And she has actually come out and sort of admitted, if you actually think about it, she's almost admitted the claims are false, because she says on several occasions, I have no money anyway, so they can't get anything off me. So she's basically saying, I can say what I like about these two people because they can get nothing. Let me tell her, I'll show her what nothing is when I get a judgment against her.
Yeah, just on that, the wording on the video, by the way, it didn't actually appear on all the videos. It depended on your settings. So yeah. I would suggest, Ben, that she actually, her legal team, did not ensure she followed the order of the judge on the day. I don't believe
all of that. She's in breach of that court order.
Yeah, I think so.
I got enough people to send me pictures from the device. Even one lady that you and I know in America, and she was watching it on an Apple machine in America, and that text about Ben Gilroy did not pop up whatsoever. You know, I've also taken a picture of my smart telly. That did not pop up whatsoever. In fairness, on my phone, it did pop up. But that's not good enough. You know, to be honest, even the label, and what she says is the Ben Gilroy I'm referring to is not involved in this. Meaning, like, oh, there's another Ben Gilroy that could be involved in this. You know, I mean, she's playing ducks and drakes with the court. And I tell you, when we get in front of the right judge who has to sit and listen to this probably 10-day trial, this is not going to go well for her.
No. The other thing, we'll see, as they say, because, you know, there are other issues here as well, Ben. I mean, I too got death threats, as you know. Today I was down the town. I was in the local Lidl or Aldi, wherever the hell it is. And, you know, I'm poking around, and all of a sudden somebody was looking at me, and I went, oh. And I froze for a second. I'm thinking, is this a well-wisher? Is it somebody I know? Or is this a bit more nefarious? And I never had those thoughts in my mind before.
Yeah.
You know, and it turned out it was just somebody asking me, because I was in overalls, they were just wanted to know, would I know whether this paint would be any good for their stairs or not?
Yeah.
But, like, throw me for a second. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you see, I'm not trying to be funny, Vin. Probably out in the public, I would probably be known or recognized.
Of course, I made a famous whirly video.
Yeah. You're normally behind the camera. But But I told you before about people who come up to me aggressive. And, you know, I remember one man coming up to me and he goes, "Hey, you, he says. And I was expecting a row. And he says, "I love what you do." You know, so you don't know. This guy, to me, like, looks like he was looking for a row. Then he turned around and he seemed like he was my biggest fan, if you like. So you don't know when someone approaches. You're always a bit iffy. I mean, I remember a guy who looked like he hadn't got a few shillings. I think he was homeless. And he came up to offer me €20. Would you believe that? Right?
Yeah.
And I was saying to him, and it was in Marks and Spencer's, and I was saying, it was like across through Marks and Spencer's, the one there on Dublin there, Henry Street there. I crossed through for a shortcut, you know? And I think he was crossing through as well. We certainly weren't shopping at Marks and Spencer's. But anyway, he was offering me €20, right? And this guy, like, needed it way more than I did. And I was saying, "No, thanks, mate. No, you're fine." And he was sort of getting a bit insulted about it, you know. "Oh, you know, why is my money not good?" And, "Oh, you know." And I was sort of getting embarrassed because there was a few people starting to gather and listen. So I thought to myself, right, I'll get it. I'll hand it to a homeless guy outside or something. So I said, "Oh, no, I appreciate it. I really do. Thanks very much." And as I'm taking it, does my wife see it? And then, of course, she's real loud. "You give him back that money. Don't take money off him." Jeez. Talk about embarrassment then, you know. Sometimes you can't do right for doing wrong. But these lovely people approach you. And but you're always nervous now, where before I wasn't, you know. I'm always nervous now because all it takes is one guy to come up with acid and just chuck it in your face. And then that's it, like, you know. And what would Fiona do if that happened? Would she be delighted if that happened to one of us? Would she take responsibility for it? Does she not realize that she would be as responsible as the person that threw the acid because they believed what she said? And sometimes the law looks to the cause, to the causation, rather than the offense itself. It's like, you know, if I hire someone to kill my wife, I'm as guilty as the guy that killed the wife. And Fiona O'Leary doesn't realize she's put herself in that position.
She absolutely has. And same with me as well, Ben, because, you know, as you say, my children are older than yours. Mine are pretty much all over 18 now. Mm. You know, I mean, I don't have to worry about any of those things, I suppose, the way you do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, your young children are in school and all sorts of things. But, you see, here's what I just can't get my head around. In one of her video responses to me, she said she actually was complaining about not what, you know, she did, but in other words, she was saying our reaction was too much. It reminded me of somebody, remember in the video, she said, "I didn't say these things about these men, but even if I did," and I was thinking, that reminded me of a case in America where somebody had broken into somebody's home and they got shot and killed. And the family were saying, "Well, you know, well, we're not saying such and such was right to break into his home, but your man's reaction was too much because," and I'm thinking, you've just ignored the fact that your son was breaking into somebody else's home and ignoring all of their rights.
And you know, especially in America, where most of them are armed in the first place.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, like on the day in that video, of course, you know, the iron bar was so bizarre because, like, I as you saw, I ducked when it was swung in my direction. You can see a little kind of a clip of that in the video. And I often wonder, I have been wondering since, what would she have actually done?
I think she should have took one for the team. You know that. I've said this to you.
No, but seriously, like, what would she have done had she actually hit me with that bar? Because if the guards come and if she'd hit me with the bar, I would have had no option but to say, "Listen, lads, you know, hold on, hold everything here. You know, she's had to hit me with the bar and it's on video," because I actually thought it was on video, but it was missed. You can just see the last bit of the swing. And
we both jumped out of the way. You could, the phone sort of was in my shirt pocket. So when we both jumped out of the way, the shirt went up. And yeah. You could see the bar up in the air with the paper flying and you ducking. That's why.
And I think that was one of I mean, it was one of the craziest days I think I've had in my entire life. Because here's what should, maybe we should clarify to people what should have actually happened. We should have walked up, stood at the gate. Fiona could have either come down to us or whatever. And what do you want? We're just here to serve your court papers. She takes the court papers and we leave. That's it. That's all that had to actually happen that day. Nothing else.
No. Vincent, as you know, I get served court papers quite a bit. And a guy just rings at the door and my wife will open, one of the kids will open, and I walk out. Daddy, someone's looking for you at the gate or the hall door. I walk out. They say, hi, Ben, I've court papers here for you. I say, no problem. Thanks very much. Do you want me to sign anything? They said, no, no, we're okay. And I said, thank you. That's it. Where's the difficulty in any of that? Now, what's also strange is she was discussing with that guy on the phone. I won't mention him, but the phone call when she was trying to burn the papers where we got the audio of the phone call because that guy put it on his own Facebook. She said something, right? And I thought, that's a real telltale sign. She said, there's court papers here and they're genuine. And then she said, I fucking told you.
Right? Yeah.
Now, that to me can only mean one thing. We've said this about Ben Gilroy and Vincent. And these guys know the court inside out, especially me, Vin. And I'm in a big-headed way, but you know what I mean.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. And when she said, I fucking told you, what she meant by that was, if I say this on video with them, they're going to come after me. And that's the only thing she could have meant. It's the only thing she could have meant. And that was a real telltale sign to me that she and that other man planned to do this to try and blacken our names. He obviously was telling her, they're not going to do anything. They're freemen on the land. They don't do court or whatever. You know, this nonsense that you hear about this bullshit that people don't even understand. Imagine accusing me of that when I'm in court every day obeying the court rules and whatever. But she must have been saying to him, no, no, I'm telling you, he will come down and sue. And so when she's seen the papers, she's on the phone to him. She says, fucking told you.
I think that means that they were talking earlier on that day. He told her he had seen you in the courtroom.
That's right.
Therefore, he would have recognized me also. He would have known me, what I look like. And I think they had a conversation, and he told her that you and I were on the way down to her. She knew we were coming.
And she knew anyway, because a couple of days previous, we had already told her we'd be on the way with court papers. So I know that from them comments she made. The thing about the Iron Bar as well is very strange. If I said to my son, Bobby, go and get the Iron Bar, he'd say, what are you talking about? You know what I mean?
Same.
I mean, sometimes if I asked him to get me a laptop, he'd say, what are you talking about? And it's always here on the kitchen table. But the Iron Bar, this must be a thing in the household. Is it for holding children down, for giving them bleach enemas or something? I don't know.
On top of that,
knew exactly where to go for this Iron Bar.
Yeah, he was standing at the doorway. If you look in the video, you see he was standing at the doorway with the Iron Bar in his hands. The other thing I found quite disparaging was the way she said to him, get the matches, matches, you know, like just matches, top of the fireplace, matches, matches, just get the matches. Like, you know, who talks to their children like that?
I know. And then there was another thing I noticed, Finn. You and the video that we did proves it, because we're in the car talking and we're saying, is that the house? And then we had to turn back to us and we said, is that Timmy and the thing? Will he just come over to us? And I said to you, was there electric gates there, right? So clearly we didn't know the house. We weren't at it before. But yet on her video, she tries to make out that we were watching and besetting the house. And we only came after we seen Timmy and the children leaving for the beach and all. It was such bullshit. But see the way she just envelops lie after lie after lie to suit her narrative. Whatever the narrative is, it doesn't matter. And, you know, when I hear her talking about freedom of speech, and like, she only likes freedom of speech when you're absolutely agreeing with whatever she's saying. Other than that, your freedom of speech, as far as she's concerned, is hate speech. And we, you and I know hate speech is still free speech.
Or speech she hates.
Yes. Yeah. But I always say, even defamation is a form of freedom of speech. You just got to pay the consequences. That's why people absolutely get involved in that, you know?
Well, Ben, look, let's say what she said was true for the moment. Let's pretend it was true. You and I would have to be insane to sue her for defamation if it was true.
We would just try to shut up and hope the video goes away.
Yeah. I mean, how many children and families of autistic children have that apparently you and I apparently have put bleach up their back passage and enjoyed it, seemingly. How many would we have to, I mean, have you got shush money to pay these people? Because I haven't.
I could just threaten to do it again. No, but it's not a laughing matter, Ben. I know we have to keep our sense of humor about all of
have
this.
But
you heard my phone call to the guards today, and yeah. And like you were reserved. But if you want to tell you tell. You don't have to say too much about what I said. But you can.
I'm just a nicer guy than you.
Yeah, probably. But I mean, I lifted him out of it, and like it wasn't him personally that was bothering me, and I said that to him on a number of occasions. Wasn't him that was bothering, but it was just the whole thing that she had the audacity, after committing the heinous crimes that she has committed against the two of us, to go reporting us to the guards. That's what really boiled me, you know. Okay. I've been fuming all day. I genuinely had to take two Xanax here, and I normally don't try to stay away from shit like that. But I just had to, and you can see I'm a lot calmer now since I made that video and everything like that.
Ben, I have two questions for you.
In the background, sneaking up behind me.
I've got two questions for you, Ben.
Yes.
Are you a lawyer?
No, I'm not.
A solicitor?
I would be very experienced in the law, though, in a lot of areas.
Oh.
To do with banking, receiverships. I would have studied that at least 10 years now. I would have read nearly every book on Picarda, who would be the writer of receiverships. Vincent was good enough to lend me some of his Breslin books on banking law. And also we would read a lot of Courtney books, who would be the respected writer in company law, but only in dealing with what banks can and cannot do, what receivers can and cannot do, if a receiver is really a receiver. And we've been very successful in the last number of years. At the start, look, we used to get slaughtered. There's no point saying we didn't. And Fiona O'Leary even made that comment when we were at the gate. Oh, you take families and you make their position even worse. Listen, you can't make the position worse. If they're in court and they're losing their home, right, you can't make that position worse.
No, how could it possibly be worse?
No.
Yeah. It's like the thing from The Life of Brian. It's crucifixion. You're only making it worse for yourself.
Well, I guess a statement be, are you smarter than a solicitor or a lawyer? I guess one question.
Without being big-headed, right, there's a lot of solicitors, and I'm not going to name them because they're actually good guys around the country. And when they have people in difficulty with receivers, and I've been told this by a number of people, including farmers, some one of the guys was with me there not too long ago. He said he went to a particular solicitor up north, but in the Republic. And he said, he opened up his book and he looked through all the receivership papers, and this guy was going to be ruined. And he folded it all back up and he said to me, look, don't say I said this. You go and see Ben Gilroy. He handed me. But I would be able to defeat most senior counsels now in court on receiverships. I work with a partner. I won't mention him because he can't be found on social media anywhere. And he is a genius at it as well. I used to think I was good till I met Charlie.
Yep.
In your experience, Ben. And
yeah.
In your experience,
okay. I'm bringing this interview to an end.
Well, I just wanted to say, I just wanted to ask, in your experience, Ben, do you think she has any case, any chance in a court of law?
Yes, she has an absolutely superb case, because defamation is simple. for us, we have to prove three things. One, that she said it. That's easy. Two, that it's published and other people have seen it. That's easy. Another thing we have to prove is that what does the common man think? Right? We have to prove that they actually believe this. Because we've got the death threats and people calling us all sorts of names, we've passed that hurdle as well. So we have all those things to prove. She has only one simple thing to prove, right? Because she's not denying it's published. She's not denying she did it. So she has only one simple thing to prove, that it's true.
That's it.
And once she proves that, she wins her case hands down.
And in fact, Ben,
I can prove that Ben is over 6 foot. And if I make that claim and it was somehow defamation, you know, to be over 6 foot because everybody thought you're a loon if you were over 6 foot, it's irrelevant. I can prove that. So I could put it on the internet. I could make sure people see this. And they might think he's part of a Nephilim, I think he used to be called years ago. He might say that's defamatory. But then all I would have to prove is 6 foot 5. I'd get him to stand up in court, tape measure on him, case over. What she has to do is just bring the children in, right? They can be protected. They have all these type of things for protecting children, giving evidence. They can bring the parents of the children in saying, yes, they were aware of it too, because they don't know how a children would be in our house or we'd be in company of children. Parents aren't around where we put bleach up their backsides. So there must have been witnesses and all. All she has to do is bring one witness, one reliable witness. She's a lot of friends supporting her. So they must know, because, you know, I wouldn't be supporting anyone saying that unless I was saying, have you a witness? I mean, there is very similar accusations made against the judge in the High Court, and I'm not going to mention his name.
Well, I'll come in there, Ben, for a sec, if you don't mind. It's like, here's the equivalent. Being accused of murdering somebody, but nobody's got a dead body to point to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. But you know, sometimes even murder, Ben, is not as heinous as what we're accused of. And people say, yeah, Ben, how can you say that? But there could be a reason for murder in the sense that it could be a wife that murdered her husband because he bet her every night for the last 60 years. She just flipped out. What we're being accused of, there's no excuse for it. A child couldn't have done anything to us deserve a bottle of Domestos going up his arse. You know,
look, at the end of the day, what happened in the court the last time was, via her legal team, they tried to convince the court that this wasn't actually about that particular part of the accusation in the video. They were trying to confuse and confound the court this is about, these men are upset they've been called, that they say they're sovereign, and this, that, and the other. Nothing could be further from the truth.
I told the judge, I don't find
that defamatory. They tried to mislead the court.
And I told the judge, I don't find that defamatory at all.
Yeah.
In fact, if you say I'm not, I might find that defamatory, because now you're lowering my standards. But to call me a sovereign, is I would call myself that. It's not defamatory. Even if I didn't call myself that, it's not defamatory.
Are they trying to argue semantics?
We're also.
Yeah, but she also speaks of a sovereign movement.
And a cult, whatever that is.
I've never heard of that sovereign movement. And then she says, I'm a spokesman for that. That's not true either. So none of those statements are true, apart from, yes, I believe I'm sovereign, and I believe most people on the earth are sovereign. They just maybe don't know it. However, that's not derogatory. But the untruth statements is that I'm a member of a sovereign movement. I've never heard of a sovereign movement in this country. And then that I'm a spokesman for her is simply untrue. I speak for myself. If people want to know how I'm sovereign, how I that come about, what does it mean? Doesn't mean I'm the queen. Doesn't mean I'm a king. You know, I can explain it to people at any stage that they want to know. I do talks about this sort of stuff. But none of that is derogatory. It's like saying, oh, look, you're a grey-haired old shithead or whatever. Sure, I might be. You know what I mean? I might be. But it's certainly not derogatory. Or it could be derogatory, but it's not defamatory.
Correct.
Just lower my standards in my community because somebody called me a grey-haired shithead.
Exactly. But, well, Ben, look, do you mind? I'm sorry for cutting across, but it's getting on now, and I have things I got to do in the morning. So, Stephen, is there anything else you want to throw at us, or can we hit the road?
I apologize. We took over the show, mate, and we haven't heard from you. Well, I really am apologizing for that to you, mate, but we just had to get this off our chest tonight because I was fuming earlier, and I have calmed down. So,
well, Ben,
you talk away for a while.
No,
just run off.
It's okay, Ben. I was almost going to get the popcorn and be like Michael Jackson in the background, just listening. But no, it is 11:15 there, and my show is officially over. But it doesn't matter.
No problem. Well, look, Steve, we appreciate you bringing us on, especially at short notice. And it's just to try highlight, because what can a man do, a family man, when he's accused of this? And sometimes the more you try to defend it, it looks like, oh, there's something up there. He's defending that too strong. You know what I mean? Then other people are saying to me, oh, just leave her alone and forget about it. I can't leave that out there on the internet. Eventually that shit comes back to bite you at some stage for something. So you can't do that either. So you're always caught between a rock and a hard place. So I really appreciate you allowing us to come on and try to clear the record straight. But, you know, there's the old saying, was it Shakespeare used to say, I think the lady protests too much. And I'm afraid that, you know, people might think, I think the gentleman protests too much, you know, because, look, there's a saying in Ireland, I don't know if you have it in America, that, you know, when people are accused of something terrible, you'll see people in the community looking at them in the shops and that. And they won't say it to them, but they'll say to a friend, huh, there's no smoke, no fire.
Yes. You know? Well, it's.
And that's a huge concern for me.
It's probably that way everywhere. People do talk, and.
That can never be repaired.
No.
Even if the court, and I win the court case and all, people will still say, yeah, but you know, there's no smoke, no fire. You know? That cannot be undone.
I do want to say there has been and there is legislation all over the world. Australia has precedents. I think Ireland is probably going to have precedents with your case. And I think America will have precedents with some other cases. But internet or cyberbullying is not being appreciated, and it is being sought after.
Mm. Well, Stephen, look, I don't want this woman to be, you know, removed from the internet. I just want her to learn the lesson and to understand this is wrong. You cannot do this to people. And if you do, they will not relent. They will. I mean, I will never, ever cease to defend my good name against something like this. And I want everybody to know that. Everybody. You know, I'm not to be messed with in this regard. No way, nor is Ben, nor are the other people. I mean, I would also like to point out the other people that were mentioned, they had discussed, we had a chat with them, and some of them did want to be part of the case.
Yeah.
They didn't have the wherewithal or the time or whatever, but they do feel just as strongly as we do about this.
And that's what I was just about to say, Vin, that not everybody has either the funds to get solicitors and barristers to fight this sort of thing. So that's why a lot of people get away with it in the first place. Secondly, if they haven't got the funds, certainly most people wouldn't have the acumen or the court experience or whatever it needs to get it to a full trial to have any chance of success.
Yeah.
And that's why the other people have not joined us in this at the moment. However, remember, if we are successful in this, their applications will be very, very short and very sweet because it'll have the same outcome.
Correct. Correct. Ben, I need to call it a night if that's okay.
I do,
Stephen,
too.
Very much, my friend. Really appreciate all you did. And I'd just like to say apologies. There were 10 people waiting to join the site. I haven't been on the site in such a long time. I didn't notice they were there waiting in the wings to join the site. I have added them all. Sorry, I know it's late. But I'll be on again with Sean McGuire on Wednesday night.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, yeah. Well, what night is tonight?
Tuesday night.
Yeah, okay, well, you see, that goes to show you how addled I am.
One day, I'm missing a
Get
day
up.
Out of my life.
Yeah, it's gone past midnight, so for Stephen, so it's.
Oh yeah, but it's not gone past midnight here.
No, it's a. It's just past.
It's Tuesday though.
6 p.m. Just past 6 p.m. here.
Yeah.
All right.
Give
fellas.
Me words of advice.
Thank you so much, fellas, for coming on.
No, well, but
thank you very much, Stephen, for having on. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate it, and all listening. Really appreciate it.
All right.
Sean McGuire is correct. It's next Wednesday. Sorry, not Wednesday coming. The Wednesday after. That's when I'll be on with Sean.
Oh,
sorry
okay,
about that.
Okay.
See, my head is up me. You know what? Sometimes. Good night. God bless everybody. Thank you very much.
All right. Talk to you, Vin.
Thank you.
See you, Stephen. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. That's it for tonight,
everybody
folks.
Everybody who's offered us support. Thank you very much to everybody who's been supportive of us.
Yes.
Absolutely.
No, but bye.
All right, and thank you, everyone, for staying up. Thank you for shaking awake. Thank you for Annie, and thank you, Lori, for People's Internet. And as I did mention, we are listener-supported, so please hit that donate button if you like what we're doing. And thank you, everyone. Good night.